Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Woo-hoo. Hello, everybody. Great to connect with you. It's your host and pilot calling in here. And we're going to have an amazing, amazing program today. And just so great to have everybody here. Getting all cozy in the chat room, Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, also known as my co-pilots, co-hosts, cohorts, love bugs, conscious living people, co-creators of the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. Anyway, I want to welcome everyone listening by the phone, by the archives, and of course iTunes as well. In an interesting time right now with this retrograde action, so we're going to dive into the tail end of that and what that's been bringing up for people, and address a couple email questions. As always, if you have questions and you want to phone in for a reading or just a chat, that number is 347-539-5122, and Divine Mystic in the chat is saying, I'm going to be listening on the phone. I will be painting. I love that. You know, multitasking speaks to me. We've got, I'm going to say, a soul brother, metaphysical part of a soul tribe guest today that I've known for a bit. He had a radio program at one point, or co-hosted one, and somebody that's definitely walking his talk, singing his talk, rapping his talk, doing his own poetry, flowetry on his talk. We have coming up later on the program, Paranormal. He goes on Facebook by Paranormal One or Paranormal 101. He's a multi-talented hip-hop artist, conscious hip-hop artist, I would say, and scribe who began that journey at age 14, and he's played with some amazing people. And the amazing thing about him is that he's a great studier and observer of life, the ancient mysteries, metaphysics, quantum physics, as well as an artist. And this flows through his artistry, through his sound, and through his message. And a while back, you know, some of you that are, maybe you've heard this, especially those of you that are musicians, there was this whole conscious hip-hop movement, you know, and, you know, I don't know if some of them would call it a movement, some do, some don't, but I would definitely say that he's a part of that, and because what is rap, what is hip-hop, what is any music, what is the artist is speaking of the times, and that's just why it's so important on a soul level that people connect to their artistry, their self-expression, their gift, their voice, whatever that is for them. And it's going to manifest differently, also known as the cultural creatives, or really the true 10%. It's 10% of the population that initiates, 8 to 10% that initiates the change, and then it ripples out. But we need the artists. We need the artists to help us with that and to anchor that as well. So he'll be coming on to the second half of the program, and really look forward to connecting with him. And Tamara put in the chat, love that, cultural creative. Yes, yes, yeah. You know, when we had Dr. Bruce Lipton on, he talked about this and that studies, sociological and psychological studies, that there are always a group of the cultural, of the masses, of the culture, they're always on the fringe that are the creatives, the cultural creatives that create the culture, that create the next wave. And many of us, of course, that have incarnated at this time, we hold those seeds. The cultural creative has the seeds of the change. of where we're going, and create the or initiate, if you will, the tipping point. And as Dr. Bruce Lipton put it, which I love how he put it, actually, it's in his book, I believe, or the CD, Biology of Belief, CD and book, that we're all creator cells. And just like we have within our actual body, this is a scientific fact, that everybody has within their body creative cells, change cells, the catalyst, you know, where we're maybe updating. So when our DNA strands, as well as our cellular structure, is the next level for us, the next step or next wave, the next expansion of awareness and consciousness, the next expansion in optimal health. And those just need to be, you know, activated. There's a time frame. So as we also have all these cells within us, we also, in the universe, each of us is a cell. We're a beacon of light, we're a cell. So we have information. And what is a cell? It's like a mini computer with information right in it. And so here we are in the age of light, which also is synonymous with information, like Jude was talking to us, wonderful Jude Kurvan last week. So that light, that frequency, everything, the frequency, just like dolphins or animals speak to each other, it's the rawest form of communication and of creation, the utterances, the tones, the vibrations, the wavelengths, sound. That's why it's so important that we sound off, but not only be sound off, but that we receive the sound back, that we're really listened to, heard, acknowledged, and understood. And so we will be diving into that the second half of the program. So I wanted to get, let me know how's my sound, by the way, everybody. It must be good because I'm not hearing anybody saying there's no sound. Also, people on the phone lines, press 1 on the keypad to let me know you want to get on air. If you want to chat or share, I'd love to hear from Divine Mystic, even though she's painting, but she's a heck of an astrologer. If she'll put some information there. And the call-in number is 347-539-5122. What I also would like to ask, please, the producers have been asking me, we need 10 big or small stories. Any feedback that you have on Awakenings Radio or my advice or my readings, if you will email them to awakeningsradio@gmail.com, we're collecting them. So I'm going to keep saying it, reminding. So we get a nice assortment for them. So that's still going on. So if you so feel moved to leave comments on iTunes, appreciation comments, or about the show, or, you know, your perception, your take on it, that would be great. And if you also have been helped by my input, et cetera, et cetera, if you would email awakeningsradio@gmail.com. And then also email awakeningsradio@gmail.com for guest suggestions, topic suggestions, feedback. I love the feedback and I love the suggestions. And even the nice criticism. You know, I got a wonderful critique the other day from kind of client and friend from long ago on Facebook that's been following my videos. And, you know, and I do listen. I do... you know, my ego isn't that big, so I do listen to what people say. I might poke people and have fun, like when I was doing the videos when I was driving. I had a lot of friends, especially in New York, which is interesting, and clients in New York panicking, and, don't drive and do your videos. And I said, no, it's mounted, just like they do on reality shows. I'm safe, but people were really, you know, bugging out about that, so I've curtailed that for the now, but I did post a couple more car ones just to kind of poke them and say, see, I'm still okay. But I listen. But anyway, I got some really good feedback on my video that I posted on my Facebook page on flow and the gap and, you know, opening to the gap. And I put back in the comments, see, I do listen. I've got a lot of good criticism, a lot of good loving critique. And some of you are in the chat, and you know who you are. But I do appreciate that, and I listen because I'm in this thing growing, you know, as well, and blossoming in a soul alignment way, mental, emotional way, spiritual way as well. So I happen to enjoy that feedback, and even stuff on my blog with the typos and people wanting to help me. So I am open to that help now. We're refocusing everything. So I am open to that, people that are offering to volunteer. So I do hear you, and I emailed a lot of you back, and I do appreciate the feedback. So I want to just touch something, and then we're going to get to the phone lines because I really want to open it up. But I want to say, my Eventbrite too, Activating Your Desires for 2015. It's an online teleworkshop. This year is just really focused to initiating, activating, and manifesting from a soul level. So we're going to be doing a lot around that. But all I want to open to, I want to answer one of the questions that I got on the flow state of how do we align to that, or how do we create that? And my answer is that we don't create, that there's two things, that the gap or the void, we don't create, it's always there. It's about us slipping into it or opening to it. Sometimes you can feel it beckoning you, right? Those of you that are artists, you know that when you're just itching, somehow the canvas is calling you, or the poem is calling you. You've got to write, you've got to get away, you've got to read, or you've got to get to the beach and just look, or you've got to get out to nature. The trees are calling you. That you want to write, it's calling you. The song is calling you. You've got to write a song about this. It's brewing up. But to receive that, you have to be in the gap, or what we call the void as well. And I know a lot of my visual artists will say that when they go to the canvas, it's the void. They don't know what's there. They have to open and trust for it to be revealed. And so living more spiritually connected, soul aligned, spirit led, the spirit is our life force, animating energy. The spirit part of us is the energetic part of us. The soul is the individuated aspect of us. We need to allow space for that instead of trying to cram stuff in there right now. So that's what I would say on that for that answering that question. And then the second question that people have been asking me is, how do you get into a flow state? And what I will share with you is everything is a flow state. It's like waves. Some are choppy, some are fast, some are slow. But yet we have our own personal flow. And when we sink in or align into that little sweet spot, it aligns us with the universal flow. However, we're not always going to be in that, okay? So, and we can ride it for a while. It's like expecting when you go surfing to have only certain kinds of waves. You know, sometimes the moon is doing its number, and so the waves are really, big. We have huge swells. Swells. Sometimes there's an offshore breeze, offshore wind, so that affects the waves. Over here in Southern California, sometimes we have the Indian summer, and so that dry heat affects the waves, and the Santa Ana winds come in, that affects the waves. So the best thing I can say is to, if you're in a fast flow or choppy flow, things don't seem to be happening for you, and it's start, stop, start, stop, start, stop, that usually means we need to pull back a little bit and allow ourselves to go into the gap and to receive some insights or some information from our higher self. Or if we've been running, like I suggested to one listener and workshop participant when he wrote in, I said, just all you need to do is take out a moment of your day, literally a moment, 1 minute, 1 minute, 3 minutes. You do that enough, that will align you into that gap where you have more time, whatever that amount is, to spend in that gap. And I had a few weeks ago, and I ended up waking up like 3:30 in the morning, and I had the most amazing meditation where I was just enveloped in all this Shakti grace energy. It was so palpable. I could feel it. And I was just like suspended in the womb. That's the gap. The gap is after what was and before what is becoming. It's in the center. And I received some amazing insights and felt so recharged. But you've got to get out of the idea of how much time, but you've got to put the time in, but it doesn't have to be 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. It's just, if you take a little bit of time out of your day, like I suggested this one person, I said, when you're dropping your kids off at school, instead of rushing them to drive off, take a moment or two, take a breath. Take a breath, just feel the gap, it's there. Watch the kids go into school, wave. Don't drive off right away. Everybody can afford a minute to 2 minutes, actually probably 3 or even 5 minutes. We're not that rushed. 3 to 5 minutes isn't any skin off of our nose. You know, it's not going to make a big deal. So the more we can do that, those little time gaps, those little gappy times, gap time I'm calling it, those little they add up, and the gap then pulls you in. You find it. It's like swimming, and you find your flow. You stop pushing. You stop, over paddling. You just find it, and you flow into it. But it's always there. That's the thing we all need to remember, that it's always there. Let's get to those phone lines. And again, that number is 347-539-5122. Pressing 1 on the keypad. And Tamara's putting, it's a powerful, getting out of our own way. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, let's go to 201-919. 201-919. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle. This is Shannon.
Hey, Shannon. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. How are you?
How are you?
I'm definitely hearing what you're saying. I appreciate it.
Cool. Cool. Good.
I have a question about my work, and I've kind of been listening to guidance you've given others for a while. I do a mix of some yoga teaching, I do nutrition work, and a lot of what I've been doing for a long time is like corporate seminars. And starting to get really tired from them and the corporate seminars. And I sort of feel like I'm kind of thinking like maybe I'm using it as a bridge to move into something else. But I'm kind of wondering if I've, like, stayed too long at the party, like I heard you say to someone else before. And if it's really, like, I'm saying I'm using it as a bridge, but I'm kind of just afraid to move on totally and into whatever's next.
Well, you bring up such an amazing point, because I would say we can't fool the universe or our higher self. And sometimes we do say, well, I'm bridging, but we never really do anything. I can't tell you how many times. And I can say I've been there myself. Tired to me and drained is always about boundaries. Either we need to do something in a different way. Mm-hmm. We need to adjust our time frame with it, even if we're using it as a bridge. Or with it's a key. It's showing us that we are winding completely out of it. Sometimes it's just working differently. The thing I keep hearing with you, and it's so interesting because it ties in with my sharing about the gap. We're all in this weird thing about time right now. And we've heard we've got to put a lot of time in. And, or it takes a long time or this kind of thing with time where we're now moving into, nonlinear time. We still have linear time, and we will, because that's kind of how we reference things, past, present, future. My show's at 12 p.m. Pacific time. I can't just show up and say, hey, it's when divine right timing. It's like, okay, so there's a schedule here. But we're moving into synchronistic timing, which is non-local timing, it's when everything is lining up. What I'm finding, and this I think speaks to you as well, is finding what is our right time or what is our right rhythm. And so that can mean chronologically changing the hours that you do whatever you do, or sometimes even the day, that you do whatever you do. Or maybe if you've been tending to do more things in the morning and get stuff done, maybe it's having your mornings to yourself and then doing stuff in the afternoon or evening. Does that make sense at all with you?
Yeah, I mean, I think about the timing all the time because my days are different each week, and I keep trying to like block things together because everything that I do is, I guess, just freelance style. So I my own personal timing feels so important to me, that wind gets thrown off, I feel really off balance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here, if I may share with you, is and I thought people will work around your time.
Hmm.
I'm really feeling with you, you're needing the mornings to yourself.
Hmm.
And I think to move out of chronological time and move into I'm taking my time and I'll be in alignment with divine timing. So what that means is, and this is, can be a tricky habit to break, but I feel you're needing to more fill up and maybe even have some unstructured time of just roaming around or doing whatever, whether it's within your house or around your neighborhood or
mm-hmm.
going to the lake or that kind of thing, having your tea or coffee or whatever, that routine, having your nurturing time for you, whatever that looks like, and then planning your clients and the freelance stuff around that. I would say at least if you could start doing that twice a week and then move mm-hmm. it at least three times a week, I feel you won't be as drained. Because I do feel, I am getting a scattered energy, but I think that's just because you have a lot going on. I almost see it like his little legs, like fingers. There's a lot going, you know, if I spread my fingers out, they're going in different directions,
mm-hmm.
all to the same place and the same base. But what I'm seeing intuitively is you're balancing a lot. So that's the nature, I feel, of what you've chosen. And I somehow don't see that changing. I think you might get more pickier about your jobs, or, you know, you might book out more, you might go, see, I'm also feeling you're needing some really on your own or alone time is what I'm hearing. And also writing. I'm feeling that there is, you know what, a book or workbook that's going to be coming through you. And you're already feeling that, I feel, subconsciously and in the body.
Yeah, so you actually, like a month ago, I was trying to give myself some more time, and that idea, I was like, I feel like I want to write something, and I've never felt that before, but I'm
yeah.
definitely having a hard time, like, sticking, I guess, like, yeah, committing to that and keeping, I don't know, keeping that a priority, I guess, because I don't really know what it is yet, but I guess that's normal.
Well, here's the thing, again, just like the painter, the doodler, you know, just like letting the gap
yeah.
draw you in. What I suggest to you and anybody else that's listening that's in a similar place is just show up and
mm-hmm.
doodle, write, draw, just show, read some inspiring books. Just create that, allow that space. I don't even want to say create the space because you got to remember that the gap or the womb, just like in childbirth, the womb is already there. And then the physical form comes in and gestates in the womb. So our womb to birth ourselves and our creations and our new pathways is already there. We just have to insert ourselves in the womb. Wow, thank you, guys. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just have to insert ourselves in the womb. I'm learning, too. I need to do this. So we need to think of your house or a certain part of your house. For me, there's a couple places that I go to. One is definitely my bedroom, then my bar overlooking the kitchen, and then also outside now. My new place is becoming, it's not quite yet roomy there, but I find myself going there and then, you know, looking at the flowers and the trees and the birds are out there and the hummingbirds, and something always comes through from there. So find your special place that feels roomy and just insert yourself in the womb. Just show up in the womb, and I tell you, 5,000%, the what you want to write will start coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so don't try to write it now. So you have mm-hmm. to allow the space. You know, I still keep wanting to go old paradigm and create the space. But no, you have to allow the space. You have to move into the space. You have to move around the time or create the time for that. But I definitely see you writing, and I see you going back into corporate in a different way, because I feel you're going to have this book and this product. And I also see, when you go on a book tour. So I do see you speaking. So some of your other stuff may wind down, some of the privates and stuff. Right now I see you continuing to do a little bit of everything, but, you know, you may take some, you know, bigger jobs, you know, in your work purpose, so you have even more space to do the writing. But it's going to come through. It's almost, I can feel it. I can see it. It's almost there. You just got to insert yourself in the womb.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. You're very welcome. And keep us posted with your progress because in your sharing, because I feel what you're going through, so many go through this, you know. And I've even, you know, it's funny because I think I've done the womb and inserted myself in it, but I've never been able to quite articulate it this way. You know, it's just because you opened the channel with your question, that information is coming through. And by the way, Shannon and everybody else that's listening, this is what the guides have been telling us and sharing with us that we need to do. This is listening more to our instinctual awareness or our body wisdom and our intuition, and then doing the logic secondary, you know, the cognitive or the logic secondary. So it's kind of like we have to show up for this part of ourselves and kind of wait. And it really is the way of the artist. It's the way of the creator, you know. I mean, every artist I've ever talked to, no matter how minimally accomplished or, you know, I don't care if they're, you know, on the red carpet or really, you know, A-list names that you know that I've worked with, they have all said the same thing. They just showed up, even for a character or, you know, they didn't pre-think it. It just happened. You know, they just showed up to it. And especially the actors, they always said, their training and knowing their craft is that it allowed them to trust themselves. And I think all of us as metaphysicians, change agents, co-creators, whatever you want to say it, being consciously on a path, we all have to remember that we have these tools that are supposed to allow us to just show up in our life and open to what is. And I think that's why a lot of actors, they talk about how vulnerable they are and they just, you know, they trust their craft and they just open up and those are the ones that give the best performances. So I think, and then I hear from my painter friends, they say something comes within, or the writers, you know, they're writing their feelings, it's coming up. It's not, they're not thinking about it cognitively or mentally. Well, I'm going to write a song about this, or I'm going to paint a picture about this. There's something, there are those too. There is that level too, but the more exalted level is something comes through, you know, or a composer, something comes through and they trust the process. So Shannon, thank you for that. I think you've got some really great dialogue going for all of us.
Great, thank you, Michelle. Remember.
Yeah, you're very welcome. All right, okay. Blessings.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. What a great reminder. And Tamara, thank you for the great read. Thank you so much. Wow, this is why I love showing up here. Like Crystal Bowles put, it's not hump day, it's Awakenings with Michelle Mache Day. Now I can get through the week. Yay! I agree. me too. Wow, that's so important. You know, I love that. That's, you know, and let's all kind of keep in touch with each other. What is it like to just insert ourselves in the womb? Acknowledge that the womb, the gap is always there. The void is always there. What is becoming, that's the void. It's not yet informed, but it's always there. And something out of the womb, out of the heart, you know, you till the soil. Out of that soil, there's some, but you got to plant the seeds. So we got to go back into the womb. You know, we got to go into the gap. We've got to allow the gap to open to us and not try to cram it with things or push to get through. So I think very powerful, very powerful. All righty, let's go to 818-850.
Michelle?
818-850.
Yes! Hello?
I know that voice.
It's me, I'm washing paint off my hands. It's Gail. Sorry if you have to hear water.
No,
oh, that's so funny.
Cool.
Oh, I've just been loving everything that you guys have been talking about today.
Thank you. It's such a powerful time right now. Wow. It's so powerful.
Well, I'm so thankful. Yeah, it is powerful. Mercury went direct this morning. And this Mercury retrograde had a lot to do with being involved with the Uranus-Pluto square that's going to be coming up here shortly.
Oh.
And there's like, I forget how many planets. I mean, it's like Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Uranus, and Pluto, and the nodes are all at the same degrees that Uranus and Pluto are at. So it's why we've gone through this intense time of really having to do that deep soul searching with new awarenesses and consciousness coming to the forefront, so us to live our lives and do it differently. It's amazing what's going on right now.
And I've seen, is it with the Venus? Because I've seen a lot going on with relationships.
Well, Venus and Mars are conjunct in Pisces, and so we're also watching the dance between the masculine and the feminine coming to the forefront of actually what happened on the Emmys, with the commercial that happened on the Super Bowl. There was a commercial on the Super Bowl of bringing to light, you run like a girl, you throw a ball like a girl, and I almost fell out of my seat. I almost fell out of my seat. That was on the Super Bowl. Like, you know, don't make fun or dishonor your sister. Yeah. And then with what came up at the Emmys, and so this Venus, you know, the woman talking about, you know, domestic and abuse and violence against women. And so all that was being brought up. I mean, what a powerful message and woman that she has survived and is now bringing that message out into the world. But the timing is right for all of these new consciousnesses, new awarenesses, for this shift in the energy between the male and the female, but also within our own selves and our own masculine and feminine. There's so much going on right now for healing.
Tamara put in the chat, I had bumps all over, such great consciousness going mainstream. Yeah, you see, I agree. You see that, like I remember a few years ago, remember the word transparency, everything was transparency, change, trust, transparency, and you're seeing things are more transparent. And now, like you're saying, Gail, this whole, you know, rebalancing with divine feminine, divine masculine, the feminine masculine within ourselves, becoming less and less polarized on a gender level, you know.
Yes, it's just a lot of the patternings being shifted. I mean, and individually on the collective, it's happening on all levels, like Tamara was saying, and Tammy was saying. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch, but it's been a very intense thing to live. From an individual point of view, it's been a lot of shocking ground and shaky grounds have been happening to lots and lots of people around me. But through that, new awarenesses are happening that are helping people ground and really do things a new way.
Yeah. Now, Gail, one thing I've been seeing, and maybe you could give an astrological focus. I'm so glad you called in because I've been seeing these things energetically and, you know, on a psychic level from the soul, and then, you know, I think the astrology really helps to ground stuff as well. But there seems to be, you know, maybe this is the divine masculine and feminine. I'm wanting to know the astrological aspects of what's going on. There seems to be this feeling of, like you said, victim abuse, power over, you know, like the whole idea of bullying is coming even more and more to the forefront. But people are seeing how they bully themselves, or in relationships, are people getting, you know, bullied, is somebody being unfair, injustice, you know, strong-armed. And, you know, and that whole, you know, empowerment or, you know, kind of not leaving or fleeing the relationship, but how do we all work together so that I'm not the bully and you're not the bullier, or I'm not the victim, you're not the abuser, and or vice versa. There seems to be this polarization playing out, you know, master, servant, you know, those that are higher, those that are low, 1%, 99%, you know, 10%, you know, all this kind of, you know what I'm saying, this either or juxtaposition of these two poles. And I'm also seeing it a lot in relationship, even personal relationships specifically, where there's distrust or betrayal, somebody feels used, and then user, usee, abuser, abuse, you know, that whole dynamic being played out. What does that have to do with, what is astrologically, and what is that, I guess, calling for?
Well, the one planet that I didn't mention, it's not really a planet, but the one I didn't mention earlier is Chiron. Chiron is in Pisces.
Ah, okay.
At the same number as Uranus and Pluto, and Chiron is the wounded healer. With it being in Pisces, it goes back to that triangle, the victim, the rescuer, the abuser. And so all of that is being brought to light with it being at the same number as Uranus and Pluto. Again, we're getting new awarenesses, rebelling against the old story. Pluto is taking it deep. We're really having to look at the horrible victimization that's gone on with women in this country, children in this country, just, and like you're saying, on all levels, whatever level there was a victim, it doesn't have to be by gender.
Right.
It's really not working for us anymore to be a victim or a rescuer or an abuser. We have to change it up.
Right.
And so Chiron's showing where the wounding is, and Uranus and Pluto are like taking it on the road.
Oh, my God. That makes so much sense. Because it does feel, and Tamara's putting dissolving inequities through healing our woundings. Yeah, it does feel like
that. Yes, exactly.
And I know in my personal life, I'm really watching it. Like, if someone's saying, oh, you know more, you're advanced. I'm like, no, because I don't want to invoke the shadow. I'm like, no, we're all on our path. Well, we all have our stuff.
Exactly. And to add it to the mix, okay, then add this to the mix, Michelle. Then you've got Uranus. Then you've got Venus and Mars in Pisces conjunct that Chiron. So this takes it back to your relationships, the masculine, the feminine, all the power issues with those two genders. Loving, being unloving. I mean, you take it, it's just taking it on the road, seriously. I mean, every facet of it is being brought to light. And this is going to continue because Mercury, which is, you know, is is in charge of the thoughts and the... that rules of thoughts and the communication is going to come all the way back up and hit these numbers again, like by March, I think it's like March 4th,
oh my
March
God.
The 1st of March. It's going to be intense again because it's going to come back up. And so Mercury's not going to really feel completely direct until it goes past that number it went retrograde at, because we've, you know, the way you go down the rabbit hole, you have to come back up.
Interesting. It'll come back. Yeah, so we're not going to be out of it until after. It sounds like the gateway, I mean, this next gateway that's coming up is going to be a doozy, a real push you through the knot.
Well, when you look at the lineup of all of these, all of these planets being at this between 14 and 18 degrees with, you know, Uranus and Pluto going to be conjuncting, I think it's at 15. I think it's 15. Mm-hmm. It could be 16. I'd have to look. I'm sorry. I don't know that exact number right now because I've been looking at a lot of numbers. But it is coming up here shortly. And we are being like launched off of a rocket pad into the cosmos with new awarenesses, with wounds that have to be healed. We cannot continue to live in the past. And so with these three planets, Chiron, Venus, and Mars in Pisces, going back to the ruler Neptune also in Pisces, there's no getting around. We can't do victim anymore. And we can't deceive ourselves, and we can't allow ourselves to be deceived. And there is a dissolving of the inequities, as Tammy says, on all levels.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't... Well, and as you know, I mean, to move more into the soul awareness, the soul consciousness, and, you know, if you want to look at it metaphysically, you know, to be in the more expanded realms or, you know, vibration, higher vibrational frequency, we have to move out of extremes of the polarity and find whatever that middle way is, or middle blending, you know. So it seems like...
Yes, because the nodes are involved in this, too. Yeah, the nodes are conjunct Chiron. This is all a part of our destiny and letting go of the past and what we already know what to do, and taking this to the higher level of connecting with the divine and our soul's inspiration.
Wow. I didn't know the note. So that's so profound. I mean,
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. I think there's only like Neptune, and I don't know, you know, a moon moves around fast, but there's not that many planets that are not in the mix of this.
Yeah.
So with this going off in an individual chart, it's going to be affecting very widespread across the board of having to look and see. It used to be, okay, one thing was put light on and maybe another thing, and we got to heal and recover from that and deal with it. But not now. It's like anything that's not working for you is coming to light.
You just, boom, 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 boom. Well, now with the node, so that's so interesting because it's, you know, where we were, where we are, and where we're growing to. Again, it to me, it's reinforcing the idea of, again, moving out of the extreme play or expression of those polarities, you know. And I know, too, when I hear it in somebody, you know, even in myself, if I'm saying all the time or this always happens, you know, it's those emphatic statements that signal one is being triggered. Someone is being triggered. You're being triggered.
Yeah, that's the Mercury. That was the Mercury retrograde this time. Hitting the Uranus Pluto, we really had to look where we were being triggered. And we didn't get back up from one before we were hit with another one. This was happening in my own life and everybody I know around me.
Yeah.
And so it was really an intense time for growth and opportunity for major growth and changing of belief systems. Major, but it didn't come without a huge price.
Right.
But we're shedding right now. We are shedding at warp speed.
Big time. And I don't know about you, and I'd love to hear anybody else, whether in the chat or call in, are you having this experience? I'm finding more and more that getting really nudged to the higher perspective. Like Tamara put in the chat, she's not staying in the victim. Quicker at recognizing when I.
Oh yeah, no, you got that's the
work through.
That's the whole thing with that Mercury. Yeah. It's the changing of the perspective, and the Mercury, Jupiter, you know, being involved in all this because Jupiter's the belief systems and the perspective, and taking an expanded view. So these two planets are where the opportunities are coming in for the major shift in the perspective and the belief systems is through the Mercury and the Jupiter. And then you got everything else working on. It's like you got 10 sculptors working on one rock instead of just one.
Yeah, exactly. I feel, you know. It is, I just got this image of like when you... What you've seen in the movies when somebody they're getting their hair, their nails, the pedicure done, the makeup.
The whole thing. They're getting. We're getting ready for the roles of our life.
Yes. And I can really see within us in consciousness. I can really see and feel a time when we will not have things like war, or this terrorism, this, because there's no way you can still have that once these polarities get, you know, flattened out, so to speak. Once the extremes are no longer there, that physical manifestation, that earth plane manifestation can't exist. There's no energetics holding them there. There's no electromagnetic pull there. But it's like we're all having to, right, clear the war within us, the warring nature within us, the parts of us that are against each other. And, of course, through that, the wounding, as you said, that's that. And, now, Gail, did you think, Chiron, let me go, if I got that right, is in Pisces, right?
Right. It's at 15 Pisces right now.
Okay.
And I'm not in front of the chart right now, but I think the nodes are like 13, 14. I mean, they're really close. And so I want to say to you, the one thing that I have watched as we started to change the age and the old and the new, you know, from the old paradigm to the new paradigm, it is exactly what you were just talking about, because everybody just felt so helpless. They didn't know how to fix the mess. They were starting to see the mess in the world. They were starting to see the inequalities. the inequities, and they just didn't know what to do. But slowly but surely, we're getting the message out there. Okay, quantum physics changes what you focus on. We've got to do in our own emotional clearing. Our own emotional clearing helps the rest, and people are finally starting to get it. And energetically, on a psychic level, I can feel it shifting, Michelle. It's shifting. It's not up to warp speed yet, but it's taking off. It's getting, we're getting a tribe behind us now.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
And
I like
I'm
too,
watching and it, in the creative groups that I'm in, the deep healing of the women. Oh my God, it gives me goosebumps of what's going on, and woman after woman after woman changing her story and claiming her power. It's unreal what I'm watching. I've never seen anything like it.
It is power, and you can feel it, and Tamara put the tipping point tipped. Yeah, I feel that. I mean, I know that in 2011 when we had that major energetic shift, that you could feel it was palpable that the energy had changed. We were in a different game. And then, of course, 2012 brought even more of that. And you know, each year, this year, October, November, that gateway, you could feel it even, you know, even more.
Right.
It's so different. And, you know, a lot of people, are, once you're in that flow, things do get easier when you're finding your personal flow, your personal timing, and you're riding the choppy waves. And that's one thing, not necessarily that we're all waiting for these results, but I am finding if you're willing to work through it, there is this wonderful grace and kind of, I don't know, payback that comes with that. You know?
Oh, it's huge. It's so huge. It's so worth it. It's worth it all. But while you're going through it, you're not, you know, you're just not sure if you can hang on, and you're not going to get thrown overboard. But, you know, once you get to the other side, I mean, my God, the confidence and the strength that you get from riding through that is just unreal. And I do want to make one correction that the nodes are with Uranus, not Chiron. So they are, the south node is in Aries with Chiron at 12 and 13. And so that really brings us back to really having to get new awarenesses about our old stories and what is in the past for us, and forcing us to have new consciousness and move into our destiny. Mm-hmm. That is creating a T-square with Pluto, those nodes in Uranus and Pluto. This is really the grits to the mill right now to step into our destiny.
So Uranus, so if it's connected with Uranus, so there is this idea of freeing up or expansion or releasing from what's been holding us back.
Clearing, decluttering our mind, our spaces, everything.
Yeah. Well, and I've definitely been doing that.
It's just so widespread. I mean, we could talk about it for a long time.
Yeah. What do you think, Gail, get your take, helps people with this? Because it is this very intense, you know, astrological energy, other than just holding on for two weeks and getting support.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
What do you find
I think
helpful?
The biggest thing that I'm finding helpful in my own personal life, and that's the only thing I can go on, is take a look as when I'm in the throes of either being in the fear of something, being triggered of something, and I have to look at the core. I have to look at what is the story behind that, and what new perspective do I need to take that's a much more expanded and healthy experience and perspective for me, for my highest good. And I'm constantly asking to be, you know, things to work out for my highest good, and I'm having to trust like I've never trusted before. It's a whole package. And doing emotional clearing and using my tools and meditating and getting out in nature, it just goes on. Moving my body.
Yeah, it is. How to get to that higher perspective, that is key, you know.
You know the thing that I find with that? So once you start asking the question and you get quiet and you listen, it comes.
So it's the getting quiet. It goes back to the getting quiet again.
And not getting like, oh my God, what is it? What is it? No, you just have to ask the question. You've got to make the space for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. It's making, yeah. You know, and I find the space is there, but we tend to either cram it full of stuff,
mm-hmm.
Afraid of it, afraid of the space or the, you know, the void, you know, like not having enough time. And, you know, to some degree, it's going, you know, with it, you know, going with. And, Gail, you know, I see a big parallel, I feel, with how we live our life as to the functions of art, whatever that form is. There is that great trust in, will I have another idea? You know, will something come on the canvas? Will I write a song? You know,
it is exactly the same. You go through this scary thing, and you don't even, at times I don't even want to start another painting because, like, well, how can I do one as good as that? Well, it's not really about good or not. It's really about listening and allowing the creativity to bring forth from the soul what it's trying to show you at that moment. You just can't, like, preconceive it. And like you said, sometimes you do get a definite idea of a way that something is supposed or a message you're supposed to get through a painting, but how it comes out is not ever up to me. Because
right.
when I try
right.
to force it, it just doesn't happen. And I just have to listen. And sometimes we do have to be in the void. And sometimes we do have to go through really dark places and she gets dark or he gets dark or whatever gets dark in your creative space. And then you have to bring in the light. It is a process, just like life. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like life. And what helps you as an artist to be able to show up?
Oh, my gosh. First, I have to make the space to do that.
Okay.
If I don't make the space, it's not going to happen. Like you said earlier, this just dovetails into everything you've already said.
Mm-hmm. You have to make the time, the space.
You
I
have
guess that's
to create
for everybody
the space.
Right now. How do you, and then Crystal Bowles Gretna says, yep, forcing it does not make it happen. Yeah, and Tamara, we're simply here to show up. Yeah, more and more that's becoming more and more real and the way of, you know, thinking is that I've got to just show up. You know, am I just showing up? And what's that old saying, getting out of your way, you know?
Yeah, we have to get out of our own way. I find that all the time. And it's like I have to talk to that inner critic and say, you know, I don't really need your help today. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Or I give it something else to focus on while I go and do what I need to do at someplace else, but I will not. No, I have learned. That's the one thing I have watched, how that inner critic can just take you down in a heartbeat and make you not even take a step forward. Oh, no, that's not happening. Not
right.
with these
right.
energies. We cannot allow that to happen anymore.
Yeah, and so where do you think this is going, though? Where do you see astrologically, where do you think this is going?
I really believe that we're in the process of changing our perspectives to an expanded perspective with Saturn and Sag. Saturn and mm-hmm. Neptune are the only two planets that are not involved in this 14 to 17, 18 degrees span right now, and they sextile each other. So there's the dissolving of being the victim, the dissolving of the old patterns, and really learning to connect through our expanded beliefs and perspectives with laser focus, getting rid of all the fluff that we don't need to be carrying around anymore in our belief systems, and really streamlining down to who we are at a soul level and what do we come here to do.
Right. Yeah, so freeing up so that we can do what we're really meant to do.
Yeah, this is what it's all about. It's the emotional
yeah.
clearing. It's about the letting go. It's about changing your story. It's about looking at the whole broad view with, you know, Jupiter and Saturn and Sag here and focusing it laser down what is really important with it now. And the past needs to be in the past. You need to be in the present so you can step into your future. There's no more playing around with this victim stuff and living in the past.
Right, right. Yeah, it's stepping into that.
And this is what it's really asking us, you know. It comes down to what it's really asking us on a collective and individual level. I mean, there's many different ways you can look at astrology, but really on a soul level, astrology, like you and mm-hmm. I deal in, this is what is being asked of us.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, and you mentioned it with the emotional clearing, and I want to share with everyone, and you could just even tie this more together and see how perfect our unfolding is that the third chakra specifically is, it's not only the inner child or wounding or gut knowing. In Eastern, a lot of Eastern traditions, it's the Hatha center or empowerment center. But it is the what we call the personality center. It's the center that earths me as the personality Michelle, which is a divine aspect in God or the all that is. So it's me literally in physical form, and it's what grounds us to the earth. That's why you see the umbilical cord is there, right in the the belly button. So we have
right.
that obviously when we're gestating in the womb, and then we have the cosmic umbilical cord, the connection to the universe or our world and the universe. And so specifically, people haven't realized how important the third chakra is. You can't really get into the upper chakras and ground that energy or live it into this plane unless you've handled your emotional issues or wounding, which is third chakra. It's people that, kind of poo-pooed it before, but it's a very, all the chakras are important. But if it's not, if the healing isn't done through the third, the emotional body, the third corresponds to the emotional body. That's why, of course, when we get, someone says something mean to us, we feel it in the gut. We feel like hit. We feel attacked, like, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not safe. That's where you'll feel it. So very, very powerful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is. That's what I'm saying.
And
there is so much to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much to it all. It's just a very powerful time to be experiencing life.
Mm. Yeah. I want to see Tamara. It's fun and feels so good. Love that. Stay start with a gratitude rant. That's great. Yeah. It's and it's the artist part of us. It's that part of us that also leads the way, that dares to say something, sing something, write something differently, to live, more individual and soul expressed as well, So
it really is a time for everybody to be creative, and we all have our different ways of being creative and many different ways of being creative. We're not really limited in this life unless, we allow ourselves to be. But creativity is a huge part in all of this with the Pisces energy. Honestly, it really is. And creativity is definitely a very speedy way to get to healing, along with the emotional clearing.
Oh, I love that. Speedy way, I love that. Well, on that note, Gail, I got to thank you so much for
sharing. Thank you for talking to me.
Oh, no, I loved everything you were saying, and I think, in fact, I'm going to send this link to a few people. I think what you're saying is so timely right now, and it gave a really great perspective. So, as always, thanks for calling in. Thanks for sharing, and people in the chat are saying that as well. Yeah, thank you. Awesome sharing, great insight, input. Thanks, Gail. Thank you so much. By the way, how can people reach you? Because you do these amazing readings, you're an amazing artist. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
At divinemystic@gmail.com.
Okay, perfect. Divine Mystic.
Or on Facebook.
Okay, cool. All right, Gail.
Thank you
so much,
Michelle. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, it's that time for our awakening dialogue, awakening conversation with our awakening guests. We have, as I shared at the top of the program, those of you that just tuning in, though, we have Paranormal joining us. Which is amazing, conscious hip-hop artist, lyricist, metaphysician, and I like to say great observer of life and studier of ancient wisdom. And he's known for blending his insights and his awareness into his music in a way that brings some insight and inspiration. So I want to welcome the program Paranormal. Hey, welcome.
Greetings, Michelle.
Greetings. Oh, my God. It's so great to connect with you. We connect.
Yes, it is. We
totally love connection. Yeah. About time. Love it.
It's been a long time, and I am honored to be on your show.
Ah, it's always great. I also want to let people know that you've got a couple new albums, or one just recently dropped that I feel is also is available. And let's dive into that, because a lot of times people, and also your website, because a lot of times people, while they're listening, they like to get the visual on people, you know, go look at the website, go look at the, listen to the music, you know, we've got a group of multitaskers here. What is the best website for information on you, and then also to listen to your music as well? Get that out there.
I would say paranormal.net, and that's paranormal.net. And to check out the music, you want to go to soundcloud.com/paranormal, and you could do that with YouTube and all the other networks out there.
Okay. Yeah, I just was listening to that one track this morning, and it was so great. You know, we were talking earlier today about the cultural creatives on the show, and how it is the artists, the creators, that not only chronicle what's happened or what's going on and what we need to do, but the vision of the future. You know, it gets birthed through our art and our self-expression. And I've been wanting to have, and we have started having again, more artists back on the program, especially, you know, obviously they're living more consciously and bringing that into their expression. Because as we're in the age of the soul is all about our uniqueness and our expression. So it's so timely that you're on the program today. So
I
know you're really busy too.
It's an honor, and it's been a long time in the making. And as you mentioned, you know, it is the age of the soul, the age of Aquarius, as some say. And I believe this is why consciousness and what I term the star seeds are starting to manifest a lot, you know, in the masses. And it has to do with this era and time, you know, as they say, you know, living through the 2012 phenomenon, you know, that was maybe the best time to live on this earth. You know, anybody who's into metaphysics, you know, they could see the drastic changes that took place during 2012, not just, you know, in the Mayan concept of it, but just in general, you know, as we know, you know, there was sort of a veil that was lifted in another sense, you know, and that's the way me and Michelle always looked at it that way. It was, you know, instead of what we know of as the apocalypse, and
exactly.
It was more of an enlightenment, you know.
Now, Paranormal, you started really, I mean, young. You started writing at the age of 14. Did you have this awareness? I mean, we've talked about being, you and I being starseeds. Did you have an awareness? Were you already then seeing things differently? Or is that something that just evolved? You were. Ah, okay.
Yes. And I saw a very strange, you know, coming up in hip-hop. You know, there wasn't too many people on that subject. If we go back to that era, which was about 94, 95.
Yeah.
And if we
definitely
go back
not,
then, yeah, it was really, you know, either Afrocentric or it was totally left of that, you know, NWA and a lot of hardcore stuff. So, like, I saw it very strange that I just came up with this persona, you know.
What I love, too, and I've always wondered, you know, about really any artistic genre, but let's say even specifically music, is how sometimes it can be so polarized. And when you talk about the early hip-hop, you know, not only with a lot of anger or party, I mean, great beats, great to dance to, great to listen to, but you're right, not a lot were using that, you know, vocalization as the bard, if you will, that voice, to vocalize the higher perspective or more expanded understanding of where we came from and where we're about, you know.
Yes.
And I feel like it's gaining traction, but why not? I always wonder that. Why not use that medium to speak these truths, right?
And to me, it is the ultimate medium because it's visual.
Yeah.
You know, it's audible, of course. And, you know, it's the feeling as well, which I don't think you really get from every medium, you know, like from the bass to the bass in a person's voice, you know, that's definitely tapping more into the metaphysics and the unseen, you know, but the feeling is obviously a physical thing, but everything else is like the unseen, like a painting, you have to view it, you know, with music, you could, you know, close your eyes and just drift away. So that's the beauty with music and using it to, you know, convey a message, of course. And,
and of course, you're dealing with vibration.
Indeed. And I don't want to look like I'm the only one, of course. There was others before me. It just wasn't on a spiritual level. There was X-Clan, if anybody out there can recall. X-Clan was doing a lot of, you know, ancient African spirituality, but I take more of a metaphysical approach, you know, dealing with science, of course.
Yeah, which you're very much steeped in. You're really into the ancient mystery schools and looking at the quantum physics and the physics of the metaphysics and sacred geometry. How does that inform your music and how you choose your projects?
Well, to me, I am definitely one for going unique. Original has always been my motto. So, you know, looking at the landscape, you know, I saw this void for spirituality and metaphysics and, like, really going there, you know, sort of like a movie is going to take you there rather than just give you the tip of the iceberg. So, like, with music, I saw that path where I can actually, you know, teach. Because I started off as, you know, somewhat of a hood teacher. You know, somebody who would, you know, teach my friends the right way. Because, I'm not from the best part of L.A. So, you know, I had a lot of friends that were in trouble. So I felt like, you know, I had to help, which was, you know, informing people and teaching people the righteous path, you know, the right way of doing things to not end up in the jail system and do what all the other rappers were doing. You know, like I definitely took more of a positive approach, somewhat like a Bob Marley, you know, where righteousness and positivity is the main goal and the main message.
See, and my contention is to get into that. I know you'll appreciate this story. I mean, years ago, I was at a club. It's not there anymore, but amazing Moon Tribe, the people that put it on, they do these, you know, out in the desert festivals. And it's such a love fest. You will see people there from their, you know, obviously early 20s to hippies in Tevas and socks and 70-year-olds. You know, it's just a wide range.
Oh yeah, amazing.
I don't know if you're, and one day I was dancing, and I was dancing with someone, and someone told me, and I was asking somebody that he had something written on his chest, I think La Familia or something, but we got in a whole call. She was a full-on gang member, and we ended up talking afterwards, and I ended up doing some meditation with him outside the club, and he wanted to bring me back, and, you know, at some point, and I said, look at my website, I'll come into the hood and teach you guys meditation, and you know what he told me, I love this, he said, yeah, some of me and my homies, we sneak in this place because we feel the love and nobody judges us. We come and dance and then go back to their... And he was full on gangster. When he left, I looked at him and I thought, shit, he's a real deal. You know, it was like not, you know, just... This is not like a skateboarder.
Yeah, I'm but sure, you know, you could tell the difference. But what's really
yeah, I mean,
about
he wasn't
that,
just...
It shows there is a need for compassion, positivity, and he was looking outside of, you know, his environment to find and bring it back, sort of like the tale of ascension. You know, we all want to reach that higher goal and bring it back to our people, you know, not just our people, but, you know, people in general is what I refer to.
Yeah. And here's my thought, too, because there's this kind of numbing, and I like pop, you know, I'll work out to it and I'll sing a tune here and there, but the numbing effect when we look at what is celebrated in the mainstream consciousness or awareness, somehow, right, this higher vibrational, more conscious hip-hop, conscious rap, conscious pop, you know, and I don't mean soapy pop, but where the truth is coming, we have to somehow start getting that more into the youth. And I have two questions. How do we do that? And do you feel that is starting to happen at all?
Oh, that is a tough question, Michelle, because at the moment...
I know there are those that don't want to... There are those that are blocking the truth, right?
Yes, yes. And you probably sense and can see where I'm going. I'm going to go with this. But at the moment, it is definitely the opposite. And it's sad to say, but when you have Art LaBeau, who has ran... you know, the radio waves for 30 years, pumping out the love music as we know it, has been taken off the air, which was just last week. And then we look at Big Boi in the morning. He has also left. We go to the New York side. All their main DJs have left. Okay, so, and then what we have to realize, people, is listen to what they put in place, okay? And it's this trap music, they call it, which represents, when they say trap, that really means the section of the ghetto where they sell the drugs the most.
Oh, really? What's it called there?
Yeah.
What's it called? Trap?
The trap. And this is the music, the 808.
Oh, wow.
With the heavy bass and the real intense hi-hats that you hear on the radio every other 5 minutes. You know? And this music is really the opposite of what I'm trying to do. I like bringing a live feel. We sample a lot with my type of music, which is really taking from live music. What they're doing now is replacing everything with 808, which is a bass. But it's not, it doesn't come from a bass player, you know, it comes from a synthetic air being pushed through a bass tube. So, you know, it has no life to it. And this is what they are trying to push to our children, is music with no life, no intelligence, and you can see it's purposely done. The industry does not want our children to upgrade. They do not want our children to become intellects. And, you know, it's dire in my eyes because, you know, they're taking away music in the schools, they're taking away, you know, all the subjects that's going to help the children. So it's just like a barrage of, you know, from every angle they're trying to attack our children with, you know, music that's just going to downgrade them. As we all know, what fluoride does to the system is what they are doing, you know, visually and through the music as well. And it's very sad. And to get onto the answer to it all, I don't know if there is one, because when you have the industry that is running everything and there is a particular fashion of people that are, you know, running this industry and are the ones that are the programmers. You know, if we were to look at the movie Matrix, the man in the white suit is that man, you know, and he programs the radio stations. He programs the television. And as we know, programming is also a form of brainwashing. So, like they say, watch your television programming. You know, they're blatantly letting you know what's going on now. And I see the only answer is to keep pushing from our angles, which is positivity and righteousness and love and light and, you know, each one teach one. And this is, you know, we're in a fight, obviously. You know, it's a war. And it always exists, you know, the war within good and evil. But the way I look at it, you know, the 5% or the 1%, which is, you know, really the light beings, we are fighting this fight, and, you know, hopefully we'll win. You know, that's all I can really hope for. Hopefully we'll prevail.
I think and feel we will, and I think we are, but I agree with you. I think it's almost like when you, like a cold or a flu, it gets worse before it gets better. I think, you know, earlier we had on the astrologer sharing from an astrological point of view, these aspects that are happening is just causing the extreme polarization to come out even more. And I think things like the internet, you know, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, I think those fringe, as long as, like you coming on the program and talking about this, and I didn't even know this thing called trap music. I mean, that's just phenomenal. Because I'm thinking you can also reach the kids through the parents, because I think a lot of the kids have checked out because the parents did. The parents, you know, have this iPhone and sit in front of the TV and, you know. And,
you are all too right. And
right?
For the people out there, you are so right. And for the people out there, it's like, I think it does start with the parents, you know?
Yeah.
And the parents are the ones who started with the hip-hop generation, but they left for some reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes back to the programming. You know, I don't like referencing the Matrix all day, but, you know, it definitely has to do with this programming and whoever is this programmer. As we know, we like to term them the powers that be, the powers that pretend, you know, the Illuminati and everything else. But there is definitely powers that be that are trying to thwart the righteousness and the light from shining, you know. And that to me is devastating, because I have children and it's like I don't see much of a bright future besides the light workers putting in the work and making the future bright, you know, because without that, it's just getting dim real quick. And I don't like being a pessimist, but we have to do something as a community, as a people, to prevent what is going on, which is the downgrading and the dumbing down of our children.
See, and I feel this year, it's an activation initiation year, paranormal. I think we're moving into that because I remember a few years back I doing work at Agape Spiritual Center, and I met some amazing people through there, and some that had been traveling in Europe, and they had been seeing this kind of, like you're talking about, the collective dumbing down, and they were doing a lot of meetings of what should we do, what should we do. And you know what the main problem or issue they said to why we weren't gaining the traction is that the light workers, the star seeds, that we don't coalesce, that we don't organize and come together like the quote-unquote others do, and that's what it will take, not just in consciousness, but like you coming on the program and sharing, us coming together, whether virtual, you know, online, tele, whatever, but just coming together and speaking the word like we are, speaking this. It's not enough to think it. We need to have, like you said, the music, the vibration. We have to speak the word, as well as have it in our consciousness and live it. And so I'm feeling more of this are coming together. I know I'm feeling that pull, especially to bring the artists that are the change agents that are doing it, to share with others, how do you do this? How do you live this way? How do you follow your truth? Because I do believe the grassroots, as we have this call to action, you're doing it through your music, you're doing it through your children. I mean, even just writing today, I was so tickled seeing conscious hip hop artists. Conscious hip, I'm like, oh my God, on the Facebook page. I'm like, let's anchor that vision. Yes. Instead of gangster rap. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, it's okay too, but it's like what?
I like to make a differentiation for the listeners, because there's such a thing called rap, and then you have the culture of hip hop, which is the four elements, and the four elements consist of pure arts, which is graffiti, you know, which is, you know, murals. Then you have the break dancing, which is dance. Then you have the making of the music, which is the DJ, you know, and the beats, as we know it, that moves the crowd. And then you have the voice, which is the MC. So that's what hip hop is. Rap is the opposite. As you can tell, during the mid-80s, if you notice, they threw that term around a lot with the NWA.
Yes.
And anybody not familiar with hip-hop, they know of it as rap. And that's what they know of it with, you know, dealing with negative connotations. So, like, I like to come out and make sure the people know that hip-hop is different than rap. And it has, you know, it's almost the opposite.
So is rap not a part of hip hop? They're doing the poetry.
So.
You don't believe? Okay.
I don't believe so. And every rapper would fight to the death to tell you they are. And what they are doing is trying to ride the coattails of the creators of this art. And since they changed the art form so much, they feel bad, you know, within self, because they know that they tainted the art form, that it's no longer the message, which was the song, you know, referring to all the angst and the ills of the streets. You know, if we go back to, it's like the jungle sometimes, that make me wonder, you know, like we go to those songs. Those were like late 70s. They had a message.
Those
are my idols.
Mine too,
idols.
I know.
And if you go
go
ahead.
Yeah, there was a message of it. Well, part of what I'm hearing in this is, you know, whether you call it the old time, the always the struggles of where we're at and where we can go, the inspirational, the gospels, the chroniclers, the bard, this is where we are, this is what we need to do, this is where we're going. So I'm kind of hearing that in this. So I just want to go back, I put it in the chat. So the four elements of hip-hop or hip-hop culture were the making of the music or the DJ, the dance, which is breakdancing, art, murals, graffiti, so you had the visual, and then what was the other?
MCing, which is the rhyme. People called it rap, which is, you know, you could use it for that term, but to me it's rhyme, because that's what it truly is. You are rhyming over a beat, and every good song has a rhyme to it, if you notice. It's the songs that don't rhyme as much that aren't that good, you know. So rhyming has been in our culture since, you know, ancient Islam and the Sufis.
Yes.
They used to teach strictly through rhyme, which made it easier to learn. And it's a human tendency to learn through rhyme easier than just speaking off the cuff. You know, rhyming something has something in it that helps humans memorize it. And it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. That's why I'm so for the culture of rhyme rather than rap. You know, rap
I like that.
Anybody can rap.
Right.
Can you rhyme and make it intricate? And the way I rhyme, you know, to me it's all about complexity. So sometimes I'll rhyme almost every word within a line with the next line, rather than, if you notice how rap does, they'll rhyme the period word, which is like they'll rhyme the very last word of the line with the next line. Sometimes I like to rhyme every single word. So say if I got five words within one line, I'll rhyme every word in that line with the next line. You know, just taking it to another level of rhyme. You know, and we love poetry. And as a child, I used to love, you know, doing the rhyme sections of, like, English class. And they would give you a word and you know, rhyme as many words as you can. And I would be going off the paper. You know, so that's how I knew.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how I knew I had a talent.
Yeah, you came in with this. Yeah. Well, you know, you're reminding me of, and I'm thinking of her name, Reverend Coleman, and she's been on the program. She's studied the roots of the Bible and all the way to the Aramaic and beyond. Well, guess what? In the Bible, apparently the stories were rhymed. They were sung. They were, you know, I don't know if you would call it yelled, but, you know, they weren't just spoken. There was like some emphaticness to them. And a lot of the stories actually had a cadence to them, like a rhyme or a chant.
Yeah.
We've lost that.
Yeah.
But she said, and that's the way that was the language was written. So when you're sharing this about the rhyming and bringing this awareness in and consciousness in through your music and through your rhyme, it to me, it's just taking back to those ancient cultures, those tribal cultures.
It's reverting.
Wow. Reverting back to that.
And what's
yeah.
scary, and what's scary is marketing professionals have been using rhymes in commercials and everything else, knowing that humans have that ingrained in us from the ancients, you know, and it truly goes back to ancient Kemet, which we know of as Egypt. And in ancient Kemet, it was supposed to be known that they only spoke in song. Okay. So if we were to go back 12,000 years during the reign of maybe Horus and, you know, Osiris, the true kings of Egypt, you know, the ones that take us back to the furthest point, those guys were on different levels than everybody else. You know, they were bringing the song to the masses. And if we really want to get deep into the metaphysics, some say that the pyramid was sung into place. Okay. Using that vibrational harmony. And as we know, if we look into like YouTube, we could see people moving objects with sound, you know.
Yeah.
So we could tie that back into the ancient Phoenicians and even the building of the Great Pyramid or the erection of the Great Pyramid.
Interesting. Moving it around. Oh, my God. So thinking that it was sung in, now who would be doing this? Or what?
See, it would be the Phoenician people. Yeah. It would be the community. And, you know, they say, you know, it was in the millions. And we know it only takes really 1,000 to move a mountain. You know, with the, as they say, you know, the intentions or whatever of a mustard seed.
Right.
You know, that's all you need is just that thought to manifest it is what we've been always taught. It's just we've lost that beauty, which is, you know, thoughts manifest and using our thoughts and our vocal vibrations to manifest things.
Yeah. That's why it's interesting. I remember when I first started studying hypnotherapy, there was a scientist research that said that to retrain or retrainment of the mind or make changes, that you had better results, not just with spoken word, but also with sound or music and sound, and that combined made the greatest change. And there was something they said with the melodic form of music. So kind of what I'm hearing from you is that in a way, depending on what we're listening to, we are getting programmed or entrained.
Yes.
By the music we're listening to. Wow.
From the quantum level. Okay. And I've done so much research into music in different mediums like vinyl. Okay. And for the listeners, I'm going to go deep real quick and go into the metaphysics. Vinyl is cut with a diamond. Okay. The grooves within a vinyl record are cut with a diamond. The music is shipped and embedded through a light beam through that diamond into that vinyl, okay? It's literally cut into that vinyl. That's the grooves we see on a vinyl, okay? We go deeper into metaphysics. When we were pressing vinyl, you know, 20 years ago, we were using strictly analog tube compressors. And this is what brought the proper sound, you know, in order to make that vinyl real rich and, you know, bump in the clubs. So when you look at that, the tube compressor, which started with the Beatles, they use glass tubes to warm up the sound and ship that back out to the record or the tape that you're recording to. These tubes have been used in time travel experiments. Okay, for the yes, you can look this up, people. I think Peter Moon actually had a lot to do with that, and his friends that deal with the time travel aspect actually created a chair, Preston Nichols. Do you recall that name?
Yes, I do. I do.
Yes, I believe that is his name, and he created a chair which has these tube compressors in it, and it's a very high-tech chair. And if you were to sit in it, and he would say, "Bring your favorite music from, you know, the old time," he stated that you would literally time travel to the session in where they recorded that song. And it deals with the tube technology, which is these glass tubes that the music is sent through and heated. And so this is where you get that warm sound of the old, of analog. Now you have a digital, which is like crisp and has no warmth to it, you know, has no time travel aspects to it. You know, that deals with that vinyl I'm referring to. So when we listen to that vinyl, this is why people would be jumping and partying, because it was taking you to the moment it was recorded. And usually the moment a song is recorded is always the most glorious moment. You know, this is when everybody is the most happiest and we've achieved a higher goal through the song. You know, so that's why people really feel. Perfect example, Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know, you listen to their music and it's like, wow, it's like it takes you there. And especially, you know, with the right intentions and just being in the right meditative mind state, you could go anywhere through astral projection. But using this chair that Kristen Nichols presented with this tube technology, is just, it's mind-blowing to think that, you know, this technology does exist out there and can help the people.
Right, right. Paranormal, everybody is totally buzzing in the chat and wants you to come back because we're out of time. They're like, I didn't
know
this. This is great.
I would be honored.
Dude,
you know me.
Yeah,
I would be honored to come back anytime and you know, extend the show and go a little further and expound, of course.
Yeah, great. So Sadie's going to contact you. Definitely come back. We'll dive back in with all this that you're talking about. I mean, you've given everybody since, I mean, we're just blowing up in the chat. So,
well, that's a beautiful
sure
thing.
I love it. Yeah. So give me your new track, the name of the new track. Is it a whole album or EP?
Yes, I'm actually working on a new album titled Gate 64. And when you see the album, it'll say G864. So, you know, I'm just chopping the name and making it, you know, nice and presentable, but it's called Gate 64, and for all the metaphysicians out there, you know, you could take that and ponder that, you know, because if you're into metaphysics, you will see where I'm getting at.
Right.
And at the moment, I have the album out titled The Star Seeds. The album title is called The Golden Era. So that's the album people can pick up right now, and you can find that at all hip-hop retail stores. And it's actually on cassette, you know, going back to the whole analog and old school feel,
hey,
you know, vinyl and tape.
I heard that's coming back, and my boyfriend, he's like, why are you keeping all these? I have all these cassettes. And I said, I know they're going to cycle back like vinyl did. 2 days later, I see on the news, I don't know what channel it was I was switching, they said, cassettes are making a comeback.
Yes. It's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing, because just like vinyl, for the listeners out there, just like vinyl, the tape does the same effect. That uses electromagnetism. And we know we are electromagnetic beings. Maybe even a better format to really tap into your music with. You know, go back to your old albums, use vinyl, use cassette. And you will feel the difference from your iPhone.
You feel the difference. Yeah. Wow. All right. I love having you on. You're such an amazing light being, amazing artist and teacher. We're all of us have learned so much. We've just totally been off the hook. I love this. Definitely have you back. Those of you that are listening, you can contact Paranormal at paranormal.net, and that's P-A-R-A-N, normal, O-R-M-L.
Yes.
ORML.net.
You can catch me at paranormal on all the social media. So Instagram,
Twitter, Facebook.
Put at paranormal as Michelle, you know, lovely spelt it for me. So, yes.
The thing. And then, of course, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, and then, of course, Hip Hop Outlet.
Yes.
So we'll have you back on for round two, diving in. And as always, it's so great to connect with you.
I would be honored.
Thanks for being
a
part.
I want to send you and your crowd a peace, love, and blessings.
Ah, thank you. Aho, thank you.
Oneness.
Wow, I'm totally buzzed. And I know you all are. Everybody was just totally buzzing in the chat room. As always, for anything Awakenings, email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. Let us know your feedback. Let us know how the show is helping you, shaping you, supporting you. Let us know what else you can do. And again, our guest was Paranormal, and you can find him at paranormal.net. That's paranorml.net. And his latest album is Starseeds. So until next time, continue to share your insights, shine your light, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.